deep cross from Millie Bright. Oh, and it's gone straight in. Chelsea lead the Women's FA Cup final. Oh my word, what a goal, Erin Cuthbert. So many players around her, no backlift, one touch, out of her feet, bang. Striding into the Manchester City half, he's got Jessie Fleming for support, one-on-one with Alex Greenwood. Does it need her? Of course Sam Kerr was going to have a big say on this final. Her 8th Chelsea goal in 7 final appearances. And Emma Hayes' 200th win as Chelsea boss comes on the grandest stage of them all.
What's up, Blues fans? Brandon London here, and I have the privilege of welcoming you to the Chelsea Mic'd Up podcast. We are the official Chelsea FC podcast here in the United States. And if you don't believe me, I'm coming to you live from New York City, and the whole gang's with me.
I always believe you, Brandon. It's Emily, and I'm coming to you from Chicago, Illinois.
And I'm Andre. I'm actually in D.C. right now. It's fun to be here. Fun to be back.
Brandon, who would ever doubt you, my friend? I'm Lee, and I am in London.
I cannot believe, y'all. I cannot believe we're already at the end of the 2021-2022 season. I'm going to say it with my chest. I'm going to say it proud. The men have secured a top four finish. The women have won the double. And, the Chelsea women are champions again. So, this is my last time saying this for the season. Some of you are probably excited that it's the last time, but a lot of you are not because you love the podcast. Let's kick this thing off. Let's go Blues. It's been a season of highlights, so we're going to take a look back at some of the highlights of this season across both the men's and women's teams. So, it's another last time that I'm going to say this. Lee, kick it off.
You're making me emotional, Brandon. It really is. Yeah. It's been a pleasure, isn't it? Let's, where do we begin? I mean, let's start off with the men, shall we? It feels like a lifetime ago that this season started. And obviously, we started as champions of Europe following that phenomenal night in Porto that I don't think any of us will ever forget. But that Super Cup win in Belfast, it's incredible to think it was this season, beating Villarreal and, you know, starting things off in fine form. And it's been one hell of a ride via, obviously, Abu Dhabi and the World Club Cup and the ups and the downs of the Premier League season, COVID outbreaks, injuries. It has been just the most surreal roller coaster, Andre, hasn't it?
It sure has. And you know what? We're kind of used to it, right? We're used to a little bit of fun, a little bit of chaos in Chelsea season. We tend to do this, but we do it well. We recover from it. And, you know, we put in great performances. And we had a lot of those this year.
So many to choose from. We're going to do our own sort of bespoke end of season awards. I know we've all got our own choices for various things. We've got so many big moments to look back on. I mean, we can talk about goals. We can talk about performances. We can talk about cup finals. My goodness, there have been plenty of those for the men and the women. There's been loads of fun stuff. I mean, should we start off by talking about goals of the season? So many to choose from. I know for a fact, I know which one you're going to go for, Brandon. Did it happen to coincide with your visit to London?
Absolutely. Absolutely. A little London luck in London, but it had to be Kai Havertz, the 89th minute goal versus Newcastle. It kind of mirrored how the season was going in the sense, or how the season has went. Again, roller coasters. Again, a change in energy. A team having to fight, not so much fight back, but continue to fight, continue to stay together. And just at that Newcastle, that moment, I'm trying to pull out my phone because, you know, it goes down in the DM, but it also goes down in the 89th minute as well. So I'm trying to pull my phone out to try and get some sort of action. And just like that, Jorginho with the crazy square button, if you play FIFA on PS5, the crazy square button cross to Kai Havertz, who just one touches off his foot and it goes in the goal. All of Stamford Bridge went crazy. If you could have beers in your seats, I probably would have spilled a beer in my hand. It was just one of those things that you got to see it in real time. You got to see the build up. You got to hear the crowd go, and then you get to hear the, it was that right there, man. To live it, to see it, that was the moment right there. Kai Havertz, way to be the man of the moment.
It was one of the loudest reactions I can remember in recent years. I think I said to you when we caught up after the game, I think it was one of the loudest pops from the crowd. So the loudest that I can think of since Reece James, when he scored the fourth in that ridiculous 4-4 against Ajax. The reaction was just, it just felt like an outpouring of relief and just the calmness, the quality to drag the ball out of the air like he did, one touch, and then the finish was a thing of beauty. It's right up there. Emily, let's go to you. What's your goal of the season? There's plenty to choose from.
So many to choose from. And as you guys know, Christian Pulisic is one of the reasons I fell in love with this club. And when I look back at the season, I couldn't stop thinking about that game on January 2nd against Liverpool. And here in the U.S., there's a lot of Liverpool supporters, and they like to chirp and talk their smack. And they go up 2-0 in this game, and I'm feeling really deflated. And all of a sudden, Lukaku, we score, we're in it. And then it's extra time in the first half, and Pulisic controls the ball with his body and just brilliantly executes this goal. And it's 2-2, and it's just a signature moment for him. And, you know, I feel for him because I feel like it's been a challenging year or so with so many injuries, struggling to maintain that status in the lineup. But I always believe in him and his talent. And this was just such an exemplary moment of what he's capable of. Also, I'm pretty sure Liverpool didn't allow a first half goal for the next like 2 to 3 months of Premier League play. So he spooked them that much. So this to me is one that's always going to stand out. And I love my Captain America.
That 45 minutes was just like a microcosm of the whole season, wasn't it? It's just like the dizzying highs, the terrifying lows, the creamy middles. It was just mental. But it was such an incredible game. And again, the atmosphere at the Bridge that day was absolutely phenomenal. And Andre, I think your goal of the season was scored at the Bridge as well, wasn't it?
It sure was. And, you know, I am a fan of contrast, right? Attackers are supposed to score goals. They're supposed to get the ball in the back of the net. So you're used to seeing bangers from them. But my guy, Antonio Rudiger, against Brentford, don't pay attention to the rest of the match. We're not talking about that right now. We're only going to talk about the goal that we scored. And he's been trying to do this all season. And he finally got one to go. And it was a hell of a strike. I mean, the way the ball curved and hit the inside of the post as well, like those are, again, when you get a little action from a post or a bar, it like, for me, it elevates the goal, the entire process of scoring that goal. It was a great strike. It was an incredible moment. And I just wish they could have won the match. But again, I'm not going there. Not going to talk about that. Just going to talk about Rudiger because I'm so glad he finally got one to go in because he's been so close. He was so close so many times. And it's great when you see a defender step up and just score a rocket from deep.
One of the producers at the Bridge put a compilation together of every single attempt at goal that Tony had in the weeks and months prior. But when that flew in, it was my son's first game at the Bridge as well. And he learned all about the rollercoaster that is supporting Premier League football sides, especially Chelsea. He was, my wife sent me a video of him celebrating that goal and he was just over the moon. And then, yeah, the mood changed a bit by the time I drove them home. Honourable mention for Mateo Kovacic as well, who just doesn't score boring goals. Just honest. Oh, my goodness. That was just spectacular on so many levels. Absolutely brilliant. And goals, games, there are so many big performances. If I was to pick up my performance of the season, I'd probably go all the way back to the game at the Bridge against Juventus in the Champions League. 4-0. Just an absolute demolition job and just a stunning performance. The only, obviously, the one thing that left a bit of taste in the mouth was the injury to Ben Chilwell, who, incidentally, back in training this week. Let's hear it, Brandon. What's his name?
Chili! Funny that you bring up Chili because we're talking about greatest goals of the year. We can also talk about greatest moments as well. And I think one of our greatest moments on Chelsea Mic'd Up podcast was when Ben Chilli didn't give Andre his shoe plug. Denied my man's his shoe plug right there on national podcast TV or whatever the platform we use right there. So I just had to laugh at that one, man, because we've had some great interviews with the players, coaches from both squads. But right there, us Chelsea mic'd up, we've elevated people's careers and people's games. But for us to get denied the chew plug right there, Andre, I gotta say that was hilarious.
Yeah, I still love him. I understand why he would protect the plug and not give it on the podcast, but I'm not gonna lie, my feelings were hurt a little bit. I was like, come on, man. I thought this was going well. What happened?
I know we're gonna look ahead a bit later on, but to have him back in this squad and the prospect of Reece James and a fully fit Ben Chilwell is just a joy to behold, isn't it?
Yeah, and it gives me a reason to yell, Chili!
This is the thing with this team. Balance is so important. And, you know, with Reece James and with Ben Chilwell on the left, like, that's what we needed. And when we saw when we had that, we were up there for title contention. I mean, we were top of the league for a while. So, like, we see what this team can do. So I'm just delighted to see him back healthy so soon as well. I mean, they only had shut him down in what, December, had surgery, and now he's already back on the pitch. That's amazing.
It just shows the advancements of modern medicine, but also determination. Like, he must be putting in the work in the rehab room.
Absolutely. And just that positive mental attitude as well. Every time you see him, he's got a smile on his face, and every sort of step along the way, it's like, how are you feeling? Feeling great. Can't wait to get back outside. And then a couple of weeks ago, you could just see the grin on his face when he had the prospect of training with the under 16s, then the under 18s. Then last week it was the development squad. And then this week, you'll have seen on social media that first session back out in front of Thomas Tuchel and the coaching staff. And it coincided with us having open training at the Cobham as well. So we had about 50 or 60 fans and sponsors and guests there to witness it. So it was a lovely moment, and it's so, so good to have him back. But, you know, to come back to that performance against Juventus, it was such a proud, we've had plenty of them. It was such a proud day for the academy as well, for Chalobah James and Hudson-Odoi to be on the score sheet in that 4-0 win. And, you know, to control a game like that against a team of the magnitude of Juventus, it just felt like a real, you know, a milestone moment for Thomas Tuchel's side. Yes, they're obviously the champions of Europe, but just to take on a team like that and take them apart in the manner that they did, was just something special. And there have been so many big performances, Andre, for the men and for the women as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think for the men, we should probably get into doing like our player of the year for Chelsea men's team, right? Because I think like there are so many players to single out, and I had such a hard time, and I'm gonna be real with the audience right now. I only typed mine in like 30 seconds ago because there are so many to choose from. It was so difficult for me to figure out who should get it. There are so many deserving, but I'm going to give it to Cobham boy Mason Mount, because it's, first of all, the story of him, you know, being at Chelsea. We've all seen the pictures. Little Mason Mount with his little funny haircut, you know, his oversized kid on. It's amazing. But seeing that he became, what he endured and grew up to be, double-digit goals, double-digit assists in the Premier League, absolutely incredible. Still so young and so reliable. He's always on the pitch, always putting in 100,000%. Like, this ain't even like 110%. That kid doesn't stop. And it's just been great to see him. We've needed him a lot this season, and he's delivered.
Echo that. He's been fantastic. And I think when he stepped up for that penalty at Wembley, everyone had their hearts in their mouths. And it's like, not Mason, because he's somebody that everyone just gravitates to. Everybody loves. Everybody just wants to succeed for so many reasons. Yes, you're absolutely right. The backstory is fantastic. The growth, the development. But he's just such a fantastic guy as well. He's just a lovely guy. Great to be around. Brilliant to work with. A phenomenal player. He's top notch. He puts in the work ethic, the press, the goals, the assist. He's got everything. He's got absolutely everything. And he will get better from this. And, you know, it's scary to think he could be even better next year.
All right. Well, speaking of people who are only getting better and better, I struggled with this, picking a player of the year like Andre. I put my vote in early, but I second doubted it like every single second since. Thiago Silva is a great choice. 37 years old. The consistency he brought, literally giving it his all every single game. You could see his heart and passion. I also wanted to give a shout out to Antonio Rudiger. I felt like there were so many games where I'm like, I don't know what's going on defensively, but I know Antonio Rudiger is going to be all over the ball, all over everybody, and just a brick back there. But honestly, when we're looking at the big picture and we look back at the season, I think it's going to be the emergence and the coming out party for Reece James. He's only 22 years old, and I know his season was hampered by injuries, leaving us all wondering what if. But every time he was on the pitch, he made an impact, especially offensively from that wing-back position, but also defensively. He was just so special to watch, such a calming force out there, and I'm just so glad that he is born Chelsea blue, groomed to Chelsea blue, his sister's a Chelsea blue. That is a blue family, true and true. So Reece James is my guy.
Great choice. And that his performance, I mean, there are so many standout performances from him this year. His performance at Manchester United a few weeks back was just, my goodness.
Big time players show up in big time games, and he is a big time player.
100%. You've nearly made me change my mind, Emily, but I'm sticking with my original.
No,
I'm going to stick with my original. I'm going to go with one of the guys you mentioned a couple of minutes ago, Thiago Silva. I love watching. Every time I watch him, I feel like I'm a kid again watching the game for the first time. because he does things every week, every game that you haven't seen before. His reading of the game, his ability to calm everybody down, the influence he has on the pace of the game and those around him. And he just seems to, we've said this, I think, on previous episodes as well, it's almost as if he sees things a couple of seconds before anybody else. His ability to step out and intercept, his ability to pick a diagonal ball that nobody else has seen. He's phenomenal. It's just like, it's easy to talk in retrospect. Can you imagine if we'd have had him 5-10 years ago and just the legacy that he would have built? But he's a bona fide Chelsea legend. Everyone loves him. You know, he walks in, he's got his own song within 5 minutes. And just everybody looks up to him, both on and off the pitch. He's a phenomenal talent. He's got a real aura about him. When you see him at the training ground, when he walks in into the dressing room at Stamford Bridge, just the way he carries him, there's no arrogance there, but just the way that he carries himself, there is a real aura. And you think, yeah, proper player. And he's absolutely phenomenal. And, you know, he's the Benjamin Button, isn't he? He doesn't show any signs. And just, I don't want to talk too much about the FA Cup final, but if we are to talk about it, his performance again was absolutely exceptional. Picked up an injury, played on, extra time. He's just an absolute warrior. And, you know, Emily, you spoke about some of the younger players. They're only going to learn from playing alongside a player and a character like that, aren't they?
Absolutely. And that's why when you think of player of the year, you think of overall impact and you think of the culture that Thiago Silva and the impact that he had, and the way that matriculates through the team and the identity that they have. So, man, great choice. So many great choices. Who do you have, Brandon?
We talk about culture. We've talked about man of the matches. We've talked about man of the moments. We've talked about the culture within the competitive culture, how that competition, in terms of talking about the goaltenders, had made both of them better. Edouard Mendy, I feel as though, is this year's player of the year. I mean, when you think about it, he's fourth in the Premier League with 14 clean sheets. He's only had 29 goals conceded. He had 71 saves. And then I know we don't want to talk about the FA Cup, but when you think about that score at the 90th minute for the FA Cup, it's 0-0. And you're going up against a Liverpool. And Mendy had some big moments, some double saves, not only in that game, but matches prior. I feel like Edouard Mendy has been consistent this year, not only for a club, but country as well.
I think you made a really good point there, Brandon, actually, because it's something that I spoke to Thomas Tuchel about after the FA Cup final. And we spoke about Liverpool because, you know, they are, you know, media darlings. I don't know what it's like stateside, but over here, they, you know, the apple of everyone's eye, it feels. And I said, people talk about this Liverpool team, about them being one of the best in Premier League history, but Chelsea have just gone toe-to-toe with them again for 120 minutes in a cup final. We saw it in the Carabao Cup final. We've seen it in both the Premier League games, as Emily's already spoken about, and that 2-2 as well. So you could put like a cigarette paper between these two teams. But Thomas Tuchel's point was, yeah, that's right, but Liverpool can go out and do that 3 times a week. Chelsea aren't maybe at that level yet where they have that level of consistency where they can put 3 of those performances together, one after another after another. But the fact that they can do it against a team of that quality shows that, yeah, fine margins are not far away.
Yeah, and I want to give a shout out to echo Brandon's, because Mendy has been amazing. I think his entire story is just incredible, but more than his story, because I think that gets a lot of attention and rightly so, but just look at how phenomenal he is. Like, look at where he came from and how he stepped up and was one of the best goalkeepers. I mean, I people always have their own favorites for goalkeeper, but he's got to be top 3. However you order them is up to you, depending on what you value. But one thing that for me makes him so incredible is, for such a big guy, he gets up and down very quickly. And in the double saves, we saw it so many times where he deflects a ball and then somebody else gets a toe to it or gets a foot to it, tries to side foot it, and he is able to react and push it away or push it over the bar. That double save that he had, I can't even remember who it was against, but I was just standing there staring like at my TV like it was a goal. Like, that was just incredible. I couldn't believe he got down and got up and palmed that ball over the bar. So, like, his performances this season have just been unreal. And I'm like super excited that we found him and that he looks to be like our number one for a while.
And an honorable nod to Kepa as well, another friend of the podcast. Just the levels, you watch them in training, the levels are just insane. And the ability to push each other, you know, they push each other so much. And I think we've spoken about it earlier in the season, but especially during lockdown, even when he wasn't playing, Kepa was one of the most vocal I don't want to say cheerleaders because it makes it sound like, I don't want to sort of belittle it, but he was so vocal and so supportive. And that's what I love about this group at the moment. It's such a tight-knit group and everybody just wants everybody to succeed. And the two of them, along with Marcus Bettinelli, but we've been blessed at Chelsea in recent years to have had so many top level goalkeepers: Petr Cech, Carlo Cudicini, Thibaut Courtois, you know, Mark Schwartz, Rob Green, you know, the list goes on and on and on. And we've had, you know, they're great people, great personalities, but top keepers as well. So yeah, and not to Kepa too.
But that just goes to show the type of culture, you know, within that locker room, the type of culture that manager Thomas Tuchel has kind of come in and implemented. Like, hey, this is what we're going, this is what it's going to be. And he's had nothing but great things to say, not only on the podcast, but in the public, about both of his goalkeepers. Any story that he tells about his goalkeepers, about the competition, about how great of teammates they are. So like you said, Lee, like it has to be like that. You can't be in a locker room where someone's jealous about the amount of time someone's getting, the amount of shots, the amount of saves that someone's getting. You can't have that. And that just goes to show, we say it all the time, but it goes to show the culture that Thomas Tuchel has implemented in this locker room. And as we switch over, speaking of Thomas Tuchel, Lee, you've got a cool little story about the manager?
Ones that I can tell on the podcast? Yeah, there's one. No, I'm joking. He's honestly, I'm only kidding. Sorry, Thomas, I'm only kidding. He's brilliant. I think he's absolutely fantastic. The way that he has galvanized this club is just incredible through what has been the most tumultuous of periods. So much of it out of his control. But, you know, the fact that we have Emma Hayes and Thomas Tuchel as the two sort of custodians of this club, the two figureheads, it's been amazing. I know we're going to talk about Emma shortly, but yeah, from Thomas, I think there's so many moments, actually. I just think the respect that he garners, but also the respect that he has for everybody that works in the training ground. I'm not talking out of turn here when I say that he has a thing where he wants to know everybody within the training ground, what they do, who they are, you know, how important they are to this overall machine. And that's a credit to him because it's a big team. It's a big team. And that was reflected earlier in the season when we celebrated his 1 year anniversary just after the turn of the year. And he took us all out for dinner. Didn't have to do that, but he did. He took us all out to a restaurant in Cobham for dinner and drinks. And it was just fantastic. And it just shows that the level of respect that the workers at the club have for him, and the players and the staff, support staff have for him, but also the respect that he has as well. He's got a fantastic sense of humor, a very dry sense of humor. He doesn't let you get away with much. He started calling me Skinny Lee a few weeks ago because I had the audacity to wear a pair of skinny jeans. He and Romelu came off the pitch and it was like straight away, he goes, "What are you wearing?" I was like, "Whoa, hang on a minute. Where are we going now?" He started calling me. I said, no, they're not skinny. Look, they're stretchy. He goes, "But so are mine." And he showed me, you know, his tracksuit pants and stuff. And honestly, he's just so funny. And there was a moment after the Newcastle game, which I know we've mentioned before, he came up to me for his post-match interview. And I thought, he had that mischievous look on his face. I thought, he's either going to go for the roll neck I was wearing or the glasses I was wearing. And he started on the glasses, said that they made me look intelligent. I'm not sure where he was going with that. And then he tried them on. So I'll share the video. It's something to behold. But he's like, on the field, on the touchline, it's an education to watch him work. On the training pitch, similarly, you know, the bond he has with his coaches and his players. But that sense of humour, I hope he never loses it because it's fantastic. And I don't know about you, Emily. I've just been so, so impressed with him during his short time at the club.
No, he always seems to hit the right notes. And what struck me when you were telling that story about the skinny jeans is that he was walking off the pitch with Lukaku joking about you. And to me, the moment that I realized that Thomas Tuchel was an elite manager and manager of people and understands how to manage all these personalities and, let's face it, egos and whatnot and agendas was when the Romelu Lukaku situation happened, where he gave that controversial interview and the timing wasn't great. And something like that could completely implode and make a locker room disperse and create drama and maybe even unravel the entire season. But Tuchel handled that situation with such leadership and grace. And he came out and said, "Look, we don't like this. This is unnecessary noise. However, there are some nuances behind the scenes, and I will deal with this with Romelu, and we'll deal with this as a staff. And they got through it. And you got Romelu buying in again to the team and contributing towards the end of the season. And to me, that is just the sign of an elite leader. And I was so impressed with how he handled that. And you could tell that the players all have respect for them because he has respect for them. He doesn't view himself as bigger than anyone else. He wants to make sure that he's empowering everyone and getting the best out of everyone, but getting everyone to buy in at the same time. So that to me, I don't know. I just have utmost respect for him. And I've seen a lot of managers and coaches throughout sports that would not have navigated that as gracefully.
I think it's a really good point. And his motivational work is just, it goes under the radar sometimes. And it's something I've noticed in recent weeks when we've talked about maybe in our interviews where a player has reached a certain milestone or a player has done something that has really stood out. And he's the first to compliment them, but he's also the first to say, and they can do more. You know, we spoke about Mason Mount. He, you know, obviously adores Mason, as we all do. And he said, but you know what? He can go further. He can do more. He can push on. Christian Pulisic as well. He's very good at saying, this is what he's great at, but, and then, you know, he's very good at just sort of motivating players. And that, my goodness, that must be such a difficult skill to perfect. But there's something quite special about him as a boss, isn't there?
Now we're going to talk about Chelsea women, and I cannot wait because I just, y'all know I love this team, and Emma Hayes is the central figure of it. Just her management with, you know, tactically, but specifically with players, instilling into them the identity she wants the team to have. You know, I've said it before. I've echoed Emma in saying it, ruthlessness. That's what we love about this team. And just, I mean, we also, you think about some of the players that are leaving as well, you know, longtime Chelsea players, you know, Ji So-yeon, Drew Spence, Jonna Anderson, like these are players who've been with Chelsea for a long time, G in particular, and Drew in particular, just amazing players to have and to build the culture and to do what they did, went through back to back to back Super League champions, won it three times in a row. That is incredible. I believe that's a record. And we're also back to back FA Cup champions, which is, interesting because we won our first one in December because it was postponed from the following season, from the previous season. And then we won it again just last week. So you're thinking, has any team ever won the FA Cup twice in the same season? Chelsea has. That's incredible. Just like, I could talk about this team forever. There are so many moments of this team that made them phenomenal. I mean, after drawing versus Arsenal in February, they went 13 wins in all competitions, 13 wins, no draws, one loss in the league, undefeated. 9-0-0, and across all of them, they scored 50 goals, only conceded 10. Just an absolute masterclass and beautiful way to end the season when you had to. Won the league by 1 point, remember, they had to. They had no room for error, and there were some phenomenal, you know, last-minute saves. You know, I think about Sam Kerr's goal versus Aston Villa. Think about going down a player versus Spurs. Think about playing Spurs twice in 4 days and having to beat them, you know, and they're a good side, a very strong defensive side. Just like everything the team had to do. And then the final day, that United game, just like unreal to think about what this team accomplished. Like, I'm still absorbing it all. And every time I look back and I'm like, they really did that. They really did that. They really did everything they had to do in order to collect both of these trophies at the end of the season. Phenomenal season. And again, Emma Hayes.
You want to know why, Andre? You want to know why they did all that? Because they're ruthless. When we talk about the word or the phrase to describe the men's team, it's resilient. They've had to weather the storm with a lot of things. But the women's team, yeah, they had their own things they had to overcome and all. But throughout the process of them overcoming, they were ruthless while doing it. And that is, it's a culture thing, Lee. Like when I tell you about football and stuff like that, it's a winning culture. And Emma Hayes, she, whatever recipe she cooked up, that is a great ruthless sandwich, because they just out there putting it on teams and implementing their will. And you see it by the way they play.
Absolutely. And that winning culture is something she has built over time. She's been there 10 years now. And I think something that goes under the radar, obviously we don't want to draw sort of comparisons with the men's game, but people talk about Sir Alex Ferguson at Manchester United and his legacy. And they say, yeah, but he didn't just win it with one team. He rebuilt a team and then he went again. And then that's exactly what we're seeing with Emma Hayes right now. She has rebuilt and gone again. Rebuilt and gone again, and just like 14 trophies is just incredible. And it is that word, you're spot on, ruthless. Just the phrase I read this week was mentality monsters, which I've heard Emma use before as well. And she does not accept second best. She always wants, let's go on, let's push on, let's go further, let's go further. She's just such an impressive person to be around. And just, I just love her passion, her objectivity as well. She's honest. If things don't go well, she's not going to be blinkered. She'll tell it as it is, as you know, is the case with Thomas Tuchel that we alluded to a few minutes as well ago as well. She will be thoroughly honest with players. She'll be thoroughly honest with the media. She has got, again, a very wicked sense of humour, which just keeps you on your toes. I think one of my favourite moments from her this season, I was lucky enough to be at the Manchester United game that you just spoke about there, Andre, at King's Meadow. And it's just a phenomenal occasion. And then so much media attention, which is a good thing, especially as we're building this women's game as we are at the moment. And that so much media attention. You could see like all the TV crews dotted around the outside of the pitch at King's Meadow. So Emma had done a fair few of those. And then she came over to us in the centre circle and we were talking directly to the Chelsea fans at King's Meadow. And I said to Emma, I said, what do you want to say? And she started off. And just as she started talking, out of the corner of my eye, I saw the Sky Sports Steadicam operator come into my line of vision. And so I looked at her and I looked at him and I thought, she's clocked it. She knows that, you know, she knows there's a Sky camera there. This could well be going live. And then within a second, she drops an F-bomb. And I was like, she was like, you are the best fans in the world. And then the whole place erupted. It was incredible. And then I saw Erin Cuthbert a couple of days afterwards. And I said to Erin about it. And I said, did you hear Emma on the pitch? She was, damn right I did. I was doing my Sky Sports interview and all I could hear was Emma swearing over the tap. And I was like, yeah. It's brilliant, and people buy into that passion, and people buy into that. Just she's just genuine, and she just loves it. She bleeds it. She's incredible. She's fantastic.
You mentioned her sense of humor. We've got to have Andre tell the story because he'll tell it best. But her trolling of the Arsenal manager, meow, might have been the best moment of the year. Andre, you take it away.
Yeah, so I love this. You know, Arsenal has a new manager, Jonas Eidevall, and he's been, you know, trying to needle Chelsea a little bit in some of his, you know, pre-match commentary. So I believe it was ahead of the FA Cup game. You know, he mentioned that he has this superstition with, you know, black cats around the training pitch or seeing black cats. He's sensitive to that superstition. You know, you've heard it, it's a common one, but he spoke about that one. And he said, I've got to be careful now that I've said that with all the money Chelsea has, as if Arsenal doesn't bring in a bunch of players as well, by the way. But he said, with all the money Chelsea has, Emma will flood our training pitch with black cats. Well, we had a dominant performance against them. We had such a dominant performance against them. He probably felt like she did, like there was some sort of superstition, something working, because it was one of those matches that Chelsea just completely dominated. Arsenal didn't allow them to pass the ball forward. And after the match and celebrations, Emma just purred. And she gave like a little cat paw while she did it. I can't replicate it because I won't do it justice, but it was absolutely phenomenal. And I was like, that is like the personality, the humor, the intensity, that also you can talk, but we're going to win. And that's what I love about Emma Hayes.
Which brings us seamlessly onto our Women's Player of the Year. And my goodness, we could go on all night, couldn't we? But Erin's my choice. I think she has been just phenomenal. I mean, she's been, well, I spoke to Millie Bright actually last week, and we were talking about sort of consistency. And I said to Millie, I was like, throughout all this chaos, you're one of the, you know, the consistency, you know, playing every game in the WSL. Erin's not far behind her. So Millie Bright played 22 times, Jess Carter 21, Guru Wright and 21. Erin played 20 games, and just her energy, her versatility. When we spoke to her on the podcast a little while ago, she was very open and honest about it. She said, I was a number 9 when I signed, and then I was a winger, and now I'm a midfielder. And just to have the confidence in your own ability and just to be that adaptable. And this year, I mean, I think that the goal in the FA Cup final, which is one of the greatest goals you'll see at Wembley, just kind of put the cherry on the cake. She has had a phenomenal season. She's such a great personality. She's so vibrant. She's so enthusiastic. She's off to Spain to watch Rangers hopefully win the Europa League. She's just effervescent. She's fantastic, Andre. And I think she just sums up the spirit within this group.
Yeah, with this group, it's really hard to choose as well. But, you know, and I kind of took the cheap way out. You know, I want to split it down the middle and give it to two players, because I think Erin Cuthbert absolutely deserves it for all the reasons Lee mentioned and even more. But for me, it's Sam Kerr. I mean, just a goal machine. Showed when we needed it the most that she can also score from outside the box, which is something that people are like, oh, she's just, you know, she's just a she's just a fox in the box kind of thing. She's just a poacher. And it's like, nah, you don't understand how good Sam Curry is. And she showed everybody those two goals versus United. You absolutely have to go and watch them. They were phenomenal. And the thing is, we needed them. That's the other thing about it, is we needed those goals. And whenever we needed a goal, that's when Sam Kerr stepped up. She had a great season. 20 goals now scored in a consecutive season for Chelsea. I mean, she is like, just after how it started and people were like, ooh, is Sam Kerr going to be as good as she was in the NWSL and all of that? And yeah, golden boots on three different continents. I've said it before, Australia, North America, and Europe. Sam Kerr scores goals, and I'm so glad that she is on our squad because she is phenomenal.
Let me just piggyback off of Andre, because obviously she scored the goal of the year for Chelsea, but it's just her swag every time she's on the pitch. And I said it before, big time players make big time plays in big time games, and that just defines her. And the fact that she's been with this club and scored 50 goals in her first 69 matches, like, that's just insane. Like, that productivity you just don't see. And she does it with a smile. You can tell her teammates adore her, respect her, think the world of her. I love Erin Cuthbert. I've been calling her the Scottish Messi all year. I too would like to split this award, but just for that impact of those big goals, my pick is Sam Kerr.
Darn. I got to run with you guys. I mean, you know, I got to go with Sam Kerr on this one. I mean, when you got Didier Drogba giving all the respect and praise to her, especially with that goal, how people put that video up, they matched his video with his goal up with hers, and he said, no, hers was better. Hers was better. And it just makes – that's the thing. When we talk about greatness, the great ones make it look easy. And she's been making it look easy. I understand she probably puts in all types of work. But it's just something that when the great ones, when that moment comes and they're like, you know what? I want my name in the rafters. I want my name on that trophy. I want my name to live amongst this club or this sport forever. She took advantage of every single moment. And that swag, remember at the beginning of the year, y'all were like, you got to follow her on Instagram. You got to follow her on social media. I've probably been the Sam Kerr groupie, like in every pic, comment, and like, yeah, what's up? Because she just, I mean, just the way she plays, that's how I like that type of moxie, that type of on-field moxie confidence. And not only does she make herself better, she makes her team better as well. So, yeah, she's been unreal. Very exciting to watch.
Very well said. And I've got the honor on Sunday after the Watford game, we get to announce the men's, women's and academy players of the season when the men's team do their lap of appreciation on Sunday. So that'll be fantastic and quite the honour. And before we move on, we spoke about this last week, didn't we? And I think, Emily, you mentioned it. The whole the country road phenomenon that the girls have been singing. I texted Erin the other day. I hope she doesn't mind me reading this out. I said, by the way, obviously I just said congratulations on the goal and the win first up. I said, where does the country road song come from, by the way? Love it. Her reply was, no context whatsoever. It was just put on once, and we all jammed to it. I was like, brilliant. I was like, they're the best ones. It's awesome. So I just love it. I was like, yeah, no reason.
That's everything you need to know. Carefree, yeah. Go with the flow, just having fun and performing at a high level. Yeah.
We could talk about the women all day, and rightly so. What a phenomenal season. Congratulations to Emma Hayes and the all-conquering Chelsea women. But let's look ahead, shall we? Because their season's finished. The men's isn't quite yet. Thankfully, top four has been confirmed, so we can look forward to Champions League football next season, thanks to Arsenal. So that's something that means that the pressure's off for the last couple of games. It just hopefully will just alleviate a lot of the pressure going into these Leicester and Watford games and an opportunity for them to perform in front of the fans at the Bridge. And it should be... it should be fantastic, and the atmosphere should be great. And like I mentioned, the game at the weekend, it'll be great to get everybody out for a lap of appreciation so the fans can show their love and vice versa, Brandon.
We got a chance to see Ross Barkley play a little bit at the FA Cup final. Hopefully we get a chance to see him against Leicester City, Watford, Sayol, some of those guys who hadn't played that much throughout the year that we can kind of look at that we know will possibly be here next season that can get a chance to run around a bit. So depending on when you guys listen to this episode, the Chelsea men only have one or two matches left. So Thursday against Leicester City, I say that's a 3-1 win, Chelsea. And then Sunday against Watford, you go big. You go big. 4-0. 4-0. That's why we line up. They go big, and you close out this season with a clean sheet for sure.
I'll keep it quick and easy. I think I see a pair of wins, probably 2-0. But I like the fact that, like you said, Brandon, we are managing some injuries. So I'm expecting some different faces out there to contribute and just ending the season on a high note.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing carefree Chelsea. We haven't played a game there, hasn't had a lot of pressure for a while. And so it's going to be great to actually see the team go out there and play and have fun. So I'm looking for some free-flowing football, do some things maybe we haven't seen, take some risks. So I'm looking forward to that. You know what's funny, Brandon? I actually had your exact predictions in my mind. 3-1 Leicester City, 4-0 Watford. I think we're going to end the season with a bunch of goals, clean sheet, because that's what we do.
Oh, good Lord. Poor Watford, relegated already. But yeah, I think you're right. I think they're going to be the proverbial lambs to the slaughter. I can see a hatful of goals at the weekend. Leicester, never easy, Leicester. I mean, okay, both teams, you could argue, don't have much to play for. But Leicester always a tough, tough side. But I think, yeah, I think I'm going to say 2-0 for the game with Leicester. I'm going to go 5 against Watford Sunday. Sorry, Watford. Before we end, last but not least, Chelsea are heading back to the US this summer, and it's something we are all very, very, very excited about. I think it's 6 years since the last time we came back for a full-blown preseason tour. So going to be stopping off Las Vegas, July 16th. That's against Club America. Charlotte, July the 20th against new MLS club, Charlotte FC. And Orlando, July the 23rd against Arsenal. So a London derby in Florida. In the Florida Cup. That's going to be exciting. You must be really excited about this, guys.
Oh, man. I have to say, these are I go to Vegas a lot for work. It has become an incredible sports city. And I think that the crowd there at that stadium is going to be super cool. But playing Arsenal in that swampy heat in Florida in the July, yeah. Make sure you pack your deodorant, Lee. And the skinny jeans aren't too tight. And the skinny jeans aren't too tight because you're going to be sweating.
Keep your penny weeklers at home too, bro.
Ah, winkle pickers. I can't wait. I really can't wait. It's I think it was 6 years ago that we were in LA last. So looking forward to coming back. It's just the reception is always fantastic. The game just grows year on year. And the fan base, as you guys know more than I, are just phenomenal. And cannot wait to get back and see you all. It's going to be brilliant.
Oh my gosh. Is this goodbye? Nah, it's not goodbye, y'all. I mean, it's been so much fun getting to know the Blues, not only on the men's side, but the women's side and the fans as well. And as we part our ways with the Chelsea Mic'd Up podcast for this season, remember, Chelsea FC ain't going anywhere. So you can find anything and everything on Chelsea through the Fifth Stand app. And please don't forget to rate, subscribe, review. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell their mamas about the Chelsea Mic'd Up podcast. We want blue flags flying high across America, even in the summer as well. Let's finish this season on a high note this weekend. Thank you to all the listeners. Thank you to all of the official club supporter clubs that we've been able to interact with on Twitter, on social media, and even being at the bars. And watching these games with you all. This has been an amazing season. We've had a great time shooting this podcast with you all. We love the love. Keep the blue flags flying high. This is us signing off for this year's Chelsea Mic'd Up podcast. Let's go, Blues.